time for Town Talk, our monthly review of accomplishments, issues, and celebrations involving the town of Windham. Brought to you at this time on the first Tuesday of each month by Prime Materials Recovery, with facilities on Ash Street and Milk Street in Willimantic. PMR assists manufacturers and utilities to maximize their resources through scrap recovery. And here he is once again, the Windham Town Manager, Jim Rivers. Jim, good morning. How's your budget doing today?
The budget is moving along, Wayne. Thanks for having me again. It's good to be here. Yeah, we're right in the middle of the season, the glorious season of preparing the budgets, which actually begins about the time the last budget season ends. But we really intensify our efforts into January, then February, then March. Budgets get presented from my office, and now we are being reviewed and examined by the Board of Finance. After going through the town council. So the next few weeks, the Board of Finance will take a look and dissect the town's budget, the Board of Education budget. There'll be a public hearing towards, later in April as usual, and then we vote on those budgets in May on the second Tuesday of May, and that would be the 14th, I believe, this year.
Well, of course, the bigger news story this week that's going on was the facility at the Windham Mills, 480 Main Street. Just give your version of that and how you first found out, and then where things stand on that facility right now.
Yes, that's a building with, for people that are not familiar, that's the building that is also known as Art Space on Main Street. There are 48 or so apartment units in that building. And I got a call on Easter that the heating system had failed. I think it might have occurred the day before, but I'm not sure. And there was no heat or hot water. They still have water. They still have electricity, but no heat or hot water. The contractor that maintains that heating system was notified immediately. And I guess yesterday they found the parts that they needed. They overnighted those parts, and they should be in today. So we expect the repair today or tomorrow to be completed and heat and hot water to be restored to the facility. My team gets involved from a number of angles. Obviously, we're the emergency response team when there's something that goes, anything goes wrong in the town, and losing, a number of many units like that out of an apartment building displaces a lot of people potentially. So, we have social services director, we have the code enforcement people, building official, fire marshal, sometimes the fire department, depending on what the matter is. And they all go into action when something like this occurs, emergency management director, depending on how severe the issue is. So, and they did their job, and we have a number of contingencies in place. One of them is that showers are available at the community center during regular work hours. Regular open hours in the recreation department. You can just go in and show that you live at 480, and they will let you take a shower. You won't have to join the facility or pay for a facility pass. Just come on in and you can take a shower.
Jim, there was a big story a month or so ago about a police officer that was involved in a traffic accident downtown, and there wasn't much said about it for a couple of weeks, and a lot of townspeople were upset about that. They thought there might have been a cover-up or something going on, but the news has now come out. What's your view on what happened with the police officer and that accident?
So, an arrest warrant was issued a few days ago, and I know that people get frustrated. I'm not being critical of people that live by Facebook and other social media, and everybody's a journalist now. Everybody wants to in a matter of seconds want to disperse information, true, false, or opinions or whatever, and that's great. But we don't live like that. We live by the rules and the processes that have put this country in place, the best country, democracy, whatever you want to call it, in the world and in the world history. And we have to follow those rules. And people have due process. We have something serious happen, whether it's an officer or anybody else. If it happens to you or me, you get due process. And also, for the people that want to make sure that justice is being served, we don't release information in the middle of an investigation to anybody, especially the person that may be getting charged, because you don't want them to know what the story is, get their story straight, change their story, things like that. So What we've done with this officer is no different than any other suspect in any case. And we brought that case to what would be, you would all know, as a district attorney, but as a state's attorney. They get the evidence. We make a request for a warrant. They review that. We don't do that. That's the state of Connecticut. And they decide whether there's enough evidence to bring any case against any suspect. And then that's where we are. So an arrest warrant was issued. That person was released. It happens to be a police officer at Willamette Police Department. And that person was released on a bond, a very, very high bond, by the way, of $100,000. That's unusual. And now we go from there. Now that the person gets go to court like anybody else and defend themselves if they wish to do so. We also have an employment issue there, and we're working through that too. And that, again, we're not going to release that, the results of that, until it's completed. So we're investigating that and how that issue may affect their employment in the future.
Well, Jim, as we always do, we update what's going on with the development downtown, and you do have a little update on what's going on with Mr. Martin Kelly.
Now, Wayne, I don't know if you mind, but I'd like to go back to the that police officer incident just quickly. There's another thought that I wanted to make, and or point that I wanted to make, that, you know, we have probably the best police department in the state of Connecticut, maybe the whole country, a very highly disciplined, trained. They are held to the highest standards to themselves, and certainly myself, the Human Resource Department, the chief. We hold them, always hold them to the highest standard, and I think we've demonstrated that over and over again in the community, and that's what's going to take place on this incident as well. And they do such a great job. One individual and one incident is not a reflection of the entire department, and we'll see how that ends up in the when we're all finished with this. But I just want to make sure that everybody understands that we have an outstanding police department, and they do a great job every single day. And I think everybody in town knows that.
I second that emotion, by the way.
I just wanted to make sure I was clear on that. We've got, again, continuing to see a lot of development activity throughout the town. And of course, our favorite subject here is Mr. Kelly, because he has a number of important properties on Main Street. But the good news, a couple weeks ago, and we kind of saw this coming for a few months as his creditor was doing, performing due diligence in different parts of town hall. He did close on a loan for $7.1 million. It looks like it's primarily to finish the Foster Building project, maybe wrap up some of the debts or work that he had prior on that project, the millions that he's already put into the different projects on Main Street. But the remainder of the funds, I think it appears to be from the documents, would be to finish the Foster Building and maybe do a little work on the Hooker and the Hale, because that's also part of the credit there. But again, you see a few people over there the last week or so. I wish there were more people there working, but it's encouraging that he now has the funds to complete the project. We'll see if that's what he does. I'm not gonna give anybody any guarantees at this point. It's been a number of years. We wish this thing would have been finished, but he does have an awful lot invested there, and it looks like activity has started up again. And as I've said before, he gets permits if he has any taxes that are due, to get a permit for anybody, including Mr. Kelly. If you want a permit to continue work, you have to have your taxes paid up, and that's and we are holding him to that. Again, I don't know exactly where he is with the taxes on any given building at this point in time. I don't go look that up every day. But if he wants another permit for the Foster Building, he'll have to make sure the taxes are current. And I think he has a couple of outstanding permits now that he could do work. So we're hopeful that he will do that. I know everybody's been very patient with him, and it's been longer than we thought due to a number of circumstances, personal circumstances, COVID, inflation. I guess what he told us is that the project's costs have gone up about 30% from when he started it. So, he's probably trying to navigate that like any of us would, try to figure out how to complete the project with, a 30% higher cost than what you started with. So, again, it looks like progress is about to be started up again over there.
Is there a target date for completion? I'm talking primarily here what we now call the Foster Building. Some of us old-timers call it the Willimantic Trust Building. But do we know when that thing will finally get done? I realize there have been some delays, but is there anything closer to target date?
So it looks like the loan documents, he has a year. The facility that he has, the credit facility he has in place, he has a year to finish that. Otherwise, you know, I think it's some sort of modified construction loan. Bad things can happen to you if you don't finish that. They call the loan, or there could be accelerated interest or increase in interest if you don't complete by that date. So it looks like a year is what is in the loan documents. And I would say that, you know, he should be able to, if he had a crew over there and lined up the contractors to finish it. The building is pretty much framed out. The windows are in. The outside, some preparation has been done to the exterior to put the finishing touches on that. You know, the primer is on there. So I would think in a year he would be able to finish it. But again, all that depends on his how diligent he is in getting to work over there. He has to get his team over there, and he has to get moving. Hopefully all the parts and pieces he needs, you know, like the rooftop units and things like that are available, or he's got those suppliers lined up. So, again, I would think within a year that should be complete if all things go well, but I don't want to make any promises to anybody. I can't control everybody in town and every contractor. So that would be my best guess, is within a year.
And for the folks who do use Riverside Drive, and they certainly do that sometimes to avoid the lights on Main Street, and then they pass behind us and they come out, for the last year or so, that's been blocked off by a fence. It's a construction zone. I get that. What's the long-term plan for that? How do they, I know it's going to be closed off forever. I get that. But how do is that fence just going to stay the way it is? It's, in my opinion, a little grungy looking, but it's a construction zone, so fine. But when that whole thing is done, how will they eventually tell traffic to go to the right up Railroad Street and then go back to Main?
A couple of points there. One, I witnessed someone going around the fence the other day. I was sitting in the parking lot across the street and walked right through the construction site. And I think that there were people there that day. The fence was, you know, they walked through the part that's closed. Folks, don't walk. I know you may be curious or whatever. Don't walk into the construction site. Even when they're not there, you know, something could fall off the building or a machine could, you know, the lift could come down. I don't know what, but don't walk through the construction site. That's not a good idea. But back to your question about the roadway there. So we talked about this before, and again, that whole area there, I never liked it before Mr. Kelly ever showed up. I would stand there, and I've witnessed many times people cutting through there, zooming through there. It's about a 45-degree angle. When you get out towards the road there, that's not what any engineer would want to see, the way to build a road. But we have not seen a site plan yet from his engineer. There is one, but we have not had it submitted officially to planning and zoning. So that's who would dictate whether or not that road would get closed or a site plan would involve closing that road. The town council, anytime you close a road, the town council or the board of selectmen would get involved and determine whether or not you can close a road, because it's been used as a road for many years, and that would create a precedent that that's what it was. Now, usually there's standing for people that are residents on a road that you're going to close. In this case, there's no other residents. It's just that one property that the whole reason to have the council and the selectmen look at it is you don't want to close a road on somebody where their house is there and then losing that roadway to access their property. But in this case, you're not accessing any other property. That is the only property that's there. It's really just, again, a cut through without using the light. I don't like it. The engineers don't like it. But again, we're still not through that process yet. That process is yet to take place. And again, he's got to get moving, get his engineer to submit that plan of planning and zoning, and then they'll decide whether they agree with his plan. I will say that I don't think he cares whether that's closed off permanently. He seems to, because that probably involved him doing more work to your question about the fence. His site plan would involve, if that road were to be closed, he'd have to do all that site work around that area and make it look, you know, attractive and fit the neighborhood there. if it was not to be closed off and the site plan was a lesser site plan where it wasn't blocked off, now it's still the town's responsibility. So maintenance and any look of that roadway would be the town's responsibility. So I don't think he cares. He doesn't seem to. I think it's the town really pushing, the town staff, I should say, town staff really pushing him towards, you know, closing that off to make that a better streetscape for pedestrians, for appearances, and for that dangerous cut through. But Dan, more to come on that. Good question.
And speaking of economic development, I hear the world's largest coffee house chain is coming to North Windham.
That's correct. I've made that announcement a few times that we had seen some documentation coming through Town Hall. But it looks like if you see behind a T-Mobile store there where Ruby Tuesdays used to be, that there's some construction going on. So it looks like they're starting to do work there. I don't know if it's deconstruction or what's going on, but I keep hearing in the office that it is coming and they're about to get started over there. So that's what it's looking like. And the other thing is that, you know, we continue to see more development around town. The old gas station across from the Threadmill is on full construction. The tanks are in the ground. They look like they're really making a lot of progress to reopen that gas station. And then you have BJ's Gas, full construction on the west side of town. So, you know, we're still seeing a lot of activity. There's still a few properties we'd like to see, you know, fixed up and developed, but a lot of them have come under the wing of new ownership and new development, and it's exciting to see that progress continuously.
And we go from economic development to toilet development, he says tongue-in-cheek. How's that coming along at Gilson Square? I guess the goal is to get it ready for the warmer weather outdoor concerts, among other things.
I don't know that we're going to be done by the majority of the season. I mean, our goal is the end of the summer, but you can see now construction has begun. The subsurface work, they're putting in the water in the sewer lines for utilities to reach out to that building, which is going to house six restrooms that we can use, open up individually or all at once, with a little bit of storage. The building's going to sort of look like the stage does, same kind of architecture. And it's going to be located about halfway up the field on the Jackson Street side of the Gilson property. So, yeah, it's exciting to see that finally move along. That's all ARPA money, American Recovery Act funds. So, you know, we should see, again, a structure up there by the end of the summer. I'm upset that we don't have it ready for another season, but you just got to take the progress when you can get it. But I think we will see it maybe for some of the program shows towards the end of the season, where they should be able to use those facilities.
I would think also those would be popular for the bikers and runners and walkers who use the airline trail. It goes not far from there. And I bet the word's going to get out that will those be open like 24/7 or just open them for events? What will be the plan for those?
They're primarily set up for events. We have the community center right there. If bikers, hikers could want to come through and use a facility, they could go into the community center. So I don't know that we're going to leave those open all day. But again, certainly events, they'll be available to those that are having a show. And we're going to discuss maybe opening some of them during the day. They wouldn't be left open at night. We just wouldn't let that happen. That would be a disaster, I think, a maintenance disaster. We are also rerouting the trail into a safer direction. It's part of the whole, the question you just asked me about Riverside Drive, and that's to come down Valley, cross right by the community center. I think they call that Gilson Way or Gilson Road. I don't know. There's a name for that road that goes right in front of the community center and then link back up with Main Street, take a right, and then cross the road by using the light there, rather than trying to go across in a diagonal direction from the Frog Bridge light, which is a very hazardous five lanes wide roadway. It'll be easier to cross. But we also want people to go by the community center, so if they need to use the facilities or get water, they can do that as well.
And by the way, you talked about how those things wouldn't be open at night. Well, the airline trail's not open at night either. You're not supposed to be on those trails after dark, is what it says. Yeah, you know, you just said something that I wasn't aware of that, well, actually, I'm looking at a Google map here. It just says Gilson Square, that street that connects Valley and Main. But did you say there's a name for that street?
I think that might be it. Again, there's a debate over what that's called. I mean, of course, there were a bunch of streets there, and I they might have been called something else. But we, you know, again, people, you know, that's well traveled, of course, to get in and out of the community center. But again, we want to reroute that that bike and hike traffic in a manner that is one safer, but also accesses our facilities and our businesses better than you know. We want them to come into town, right? And we want them to be safe, and that seems like a good thing. But like you said, you're talking about using facilities that already exist. If they're walking right past them, you got to put all a sign up that hey, hikers and bikers, restroom facilities available here. You know, you do those types of things to make it more you know, inviting for people to come to town.
Another great update from Jim Rivers, brought to you by Prime Materials Recovery, with facilities on Milk Street and Ash Street in Willimantic. Learn more at PMRinc.com. Jim, always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you for joining me today.
All right. Thanks, Wayne.
14 WILI Willimantic and 95.3 FM.